I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Tuesday, March 23rd. There were 17 new cases of coronavirus in Quincy yesterday. There are 208 active cases in the city right now. Quincy's positivity rate at 2.7%. The city is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map, and there have been 150 deaths. Fire destroyed a school under construction in Milton overnight. Flames ripped through the building on Central Avenue at about 1:30 this morning. Officials say the fire appears to have started in the attic, but it quickly engulfed the building. The site was a former function hall and was being rebuilt to be a new preschool and kindergarten. Signs at the scene say the building was to be the new Goddard School. No injuries were reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Marty Walsh has resigned as mayor of Boston after the Senate confirmed him as the next labor secretary. The Senate vote was 68-29 last night. Walsh will be sworn in by Vice President Kamala Harris at 5:25 p.m. today in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. He is the first union member to be Secretary of Labor in nearly 50 years. Walsh was first elected mayor in 2013. Before that, he was a state representative for nearly 20 years and held leadership positions in multiple labor unions. He said the last 8 weeks have been bittersweet. When Walsh officially resigned as mayor at 9 p.m. Monday, City Council President Kim Janey became the city's first woman and first person of color to become Boston mayor. Walsh will have to address labor issues spotlighted by the pandemic, like safety in the workplace. There's also the ongoing fight for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Boston voters will choose a new mayor in November. Walsh said he does not know if he'll endorse any candidate at this point. Janey has not said whether or not she will run for the full position. Duxbury school officials are investigating after high school students allegedly used offensive language during a football game earlier this month. Superintendent John Antonucci said varsity players used highly offensive language while calling audibles during a game against Plymouth North on March 12th. In a letter to residents, Antonucci didn't say what players said during the game, but wrote some of the language in question had religious connotations. Head football coach Dave Memoron apologized in a statement. Antonucci said the play call system was immediately halted, and he's instituting mandatory training for the team. He'll also conduct a review to determine how the school district can integrate diversity, equity, and inclusion into all athletic and co-curricular programs. Boston's top prosecutor pledged on Monday to vacate drug convictions for potentially tens of thousands of defendants whose cases are tied to a troubled former state drug testing lab. Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins said her office will work with defense attorneys to erase drug convictions for those whose drug certification was done at the now-closed Hinton State Lab from May of 2003 until its closure in August of 2012. Two chemists who worked there, Annie Dukan and Sonia Farouk, were convicted of tampering with evidence. Thousands of convictions across the state have already been tossed because of their misconduct. Rollins' office says tens of thousands of cases could potentially be impacted, but it is working to determine the exact number. The American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts and the state's Public Defender Agency applauded Rollins' decision and urged other district attorneys to follow suit. Well, it's happened to just about everyone. A call comes in on your phone, and it looks legitimate, maybe from a utility company that you deal with, and then the caller demands payments or your service will be shut off. It even happened to Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey. Utility companies say even if someone looking very official shows up at your door pressuring you for payment, shut the door. Healey said there are other scams that target unemployment benefits and some seeking payment for a COVID-19 vaccine. Healy emphasizes that there is a statewide moratorium on utility shutoffs until July 1st. The Boston Red Sox will be welcoming fans back to Fenway Park for Major League Baseball games for the first time since the 2019 season. The team says that single-game tickets for April games will go on sale to the general public beginning Thursday at 10 a.m. According to the Red Sox, the tickets will initially be priced at 2020 individual game prices and will fluctuate based on demand and variables such as the date, number of tickets available, opponent, and weather conditions. According to the team, the dynamic pricing is based on practices implemented by the majority of Major League Baseball teams. It says it will allow the team to accommodate potential changes to capacity more easily throughout the season. The team says it is the same system that is being used for seats on top of the Green Monster since 2014. The team says tickets will be sold in pods of 2 and 4 with a limit of 1 pod per game per fan. It says tickets for opening day on April 1st are not included in the sale to the general public. Red Sox says fans will be required to complete a health screening prior to entry on the day of the game and wear masks and, of course, observe social distancing. Students of Harvard University's undergraduate Harvard College should expect to return to campus-based learning in the fall. The Faculty of Arts and Sciences, the largest division of Harvard, announced that it is expecting a full return to campus for the 2021 fall semester. According to the school, it's planning for a regular return, full-density living accommodations for students, and a return to in-person learning with faculty. The school also says it's expecting that a full range of academic resources will be available in person, including libraries, archives, museums, and research facilities. More than a century after Loretta Perfectus Walsh became a trailblazer in the U.S. Navy, her name is being permanently associated with the world's oldest commissioned warship afloat. The USS Constitution on Sunday named one of the ship's 24-pound long guns Perfectus in honor of Walsh's service. She enlisted on March 17, 1917, as part of the Naval Reserve Act of 1916 and was sworn in as the Navy's first female chief petty officer on March 21, 1917. The naming ceremony, which also coincided with Women's History Month, was streamed on Facebook. Guns aboard the ship are replicas of the originals that were produced in the 1920s, and the newly christened Perfectus is one of only two named by the modern crew. In lieu of records for the original names of the ship's guns, some of the others were given names based on records from sister ships. They include Brother Jonathan, True Blue, Yankee Protection, Putnam, Raging Eagle, Viper, General Warren, Mad Anthony, America, Washington, Liberty Forever, Defiance, and Liberty or Death. The USS Constitution was undefeated in battle and destroyed or captured 33 opponents. She earned the nickname Old Ironsides during the War of 1812. When British cannonballs were seen bouncing off the ship's wooden hull. Other news, a shooting at a crowded Colorado supermarket that killed 10 people, including the first police officer to arrive, sent terrorized shoppers and workers scrambling for safety, and stunned a state that has grieved several mass killings. A lone suspect was in custody. Hundreds of police officers from throughout the Denver metropolitan area responded to the Monday afternoon attack, converging on a King Soopers supermarket in a busy shopping plaza in southern Boulder. SWAT officers carrying ballistic shields slowly approached the store as others quickly escorted frightened people away from the building. Some of its windows shattered. Customers and employees fled through a back-loading dock to safety. Others took refuge in nearby shops. Results from a U.S. trial of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine may have used outdated information, according to U.S. federal health officials. The Data and Safety Monitoring Board said in a statement it was concerned that AstraZeneca may have provided an incomplete view of the efficacy data. AstraZeneca reported yesterday its COVID-19 vaccine provided strong protection among adults of all ages in a long-anticipated U.S. study, a finding that could help rebuild public confidence in the shot around the world and move it a step closer to clearance in the U.S. President Joe Biden will showcase health insurance cuts in a speech in Ohio today, during what may be the best time for Democrats to talk up the Affordable Care Act since it became law. Biden's COVID-19 relief bill pumps up Obamacare premium subsidies to address longstanding problems of affordability, particularly for people with solid middle-class incomes. More taxpayer assistance means, in effect, consumers who buy their own policies through healthcare.gov will pay hundreds of dollars less out of their own pockets. Florida's famed South Beach is desperately seeking a new image. With more than 1,000 arrests and nearly 100 gun seizures already during this year's spring break season, officials are thinking it may finally be time to cleanse the hip neighborhood of its law-breaking, party-all-night vibe. The move comes after years of increasingly stringent measures, banning alcohol from beaches, canceling concerts and food festivals, have failed to stop the city from being overrun with out-of-control parties and anything-goes antics. It was 1 year ago that the terrifying free fall of the stock market suddenly ended, ushering in one of its greatest runs. March 23rd, 2020, the S&P fell 2.9%, and all the index dropped nearly 34% in about a month, wiping out 3 years' worth of gains. Turned out to be the bottom, even though the pandemic worsened in the ensuing months and the economy sank deeper into recession. Massive amounts of support for the economy from the Federal Reserve and Congress limited how far stocks would fall. The market recovered all of its losses by August. Yesterday, stocks were higher. The Dow was up 103. The NASDAQ rose 162, and the S&P added 27. Global stocks and futures were lower after the Fed promised to support the U.S. economy, and Washington and Europe announced sanctions against Chinese officials accused of human rights abuses. The dollar and the euro were down, oil at $60 a barrel. In sports, Celtics losing to the Grizzlies, 132-126 in overtime. Forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, plenty of sunshine, a high near 60. Tonight, cloudy, low of 42. Afternoon showers on Wednesday, high 52. Partly cloudy. Thursday will be near 70 degrees. Some morning rain on Friday, the high of 63, and a sunny 52 on Saturday. For the boater, waves about a foot, a light southwest to southeast wind. High tide, 7:26 a.m. Sun rose, 6:41, sets at 6:59. Another sunny day, high near 60 degrees. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Tuesday, March 23rd.